So,
Oh, all right. If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 16, please. Luke chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in verse 19. Luke 16 and verse 19. It says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us which would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning, and we trust that as we open the scriptures, that you'll give us eyes of understanding. And Lord, I pray that as we touch on this very serious subject in this passage, that you would not let anybody leave this room today without being sure that they are not going to hell and they are on their way to heaven. So work in each heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I will be preaching on one of the most important topics in the Bible that have ever been preached or will ever be preached from this pulpit. And yet, it is, without any doubt, my least favorite subject to preach on. If I could, I'd preach on heaven every Sunday. I'd preach on heaven. This is my least favorite subject to preach. It's the exact opposite of the subject I preached on last Sunday about heaven. And so this morning I'm going to be preaching on what the Bible says about the subject of hell. And the reason that I feel led to preach on this subject is really because of two reasons. One, as your pastor, I love you. And I'm concerned about where everybody in this room will spend eternity. And then secondly, I am a Bible-believing preacher, and I would not be if I did not preach on this subject from time to time. God's Word has a lot to say about heaven. We saw that last week in the message, but it also has a lot to say about the subject of hell. And the sad thing is that some folks sit in church regularly, but they cannot tell you the last time their pastor preached a sermon on hell. Some churches claim to be Bible preaching and Bible teaching churches, but they very seldom, if ever, preach about hell, even though it is taught throughout the Scriptures. And so it's no wonder that these churches never see anyone get saved, because lost people on their own don't realize that there is a literal place called hell. Hell is a real place where some folks will exist for eternity. And it always saddens my heart as I look across this congregation, really at any congregation I happen to be preaching to, because I am probably looking at least someone who will spend eternity in this awful place called hell. And that breaks my heart. One time, there was a pastor who had two young preachers that were in his church. And one Sunday, he had both young preachers preach on the subject of hell. One preached an amazing sermon outline on hell. He had all the main points alliterated, and homiletically, it was a beautiful sermon. But when he got finished, he could tell his sermon it was a total failure. It went over like a lead blue. But then the second young preacher preached, and the sermon was not homiletically organized. It had no alliterated outline. But when he got through, he could tell that the congregation was moved by his sermon. And so the pastor of the church called the first preacher before him and said, I want to compliment you on a well-organized sermon, but you know and I know that the congregation was not moved by your sermon. While the other young man preached a sermon that was not as well organized as yours, but the congregation was moved to tears by his sermon. Would you like to know what the difference between the two sermons was? And the young man said, please tell me. And the pastor said, the difference was you preached and the congregation could not feel that you really cared whether or not they went to hell. But the other young man preached with a sad heart, because he knew that some he was preaching to would die and go to hell. He preached with a sad heart. And as I preach on the subject of hell this morning, I hope you can feel the sadness in my heart. That the sadness comes from the fact that possibly I could be preaching to someone that will spend eternity in that horrible place. But it is my prayer that if you happen to be one of those who is headed there, that this morning you will make up your mind that hell is not the place where you are going to spend eternity. And so I need to start, I guess, by telling you that hell is a real place. I have a pastor friend in South Carolina who absolutely loves living in South Carolina. He thinks it's like heaven on earth living in South Carolina. And if you ask him, about living there, he'll tell you how much he loves South Carolina. But when you ask him that question, for some reason, he always will also tell you about some of the antiquated laws that they have on the books in South Carolina that have been passed down from their forefathers. These are laws that are actually on the books, even though they are not enforced. For instance, he'll tell you that in South Carolina, this is still on the books, every adult male must bring a rifle to church on Sunday in order to ward off Indian attacks. It's still on the books in South Carolina. And by the way, that law is still on the books in Massachusetts as well, that every man is supposed to bring a rifle to church with him on Sunday morning. He also told me that in South Carolina, this is still in the books, it is perfectly legal to beat your wife on the courthouse steps on Sunday. That one's still in the books. But he also told me this. He said, by law, If a man promises to marry an unmarried woman in the presence of others, that marriage must take place. You are not allowed to change your mind. Of course, after he marries her, he could take her to the courthouse steps and beat her on Sundays. But you know, no matter where you live, we find these antiquated laws that are on the books that are really, you know, they've just never been removed. And before you think that South Carolina is so funny, let me tell you some from around here. Did you know that in Rhode Island, cap guns are illegal? Go to Walmart. They sell them in every store. They sell them all over the place. But technically, they are illegal in the state of Rhode Island. How about this one? I bet you never would have guessed this one. It is illegal to bite off someone else's leg. It's on the books in the state of Rhode Island. And here's an important one. It is illegal to throw pickle juice on a trolley in Rhode Island. And in Providence, I found this interesting, in Providence, it's still on the books that it is illegal to sell a toothbrush and toothpaste to the same customer on Sunday. Kind of weird. I don't know what brought about that law, but that's still on the books in Rhode Island. But Massachusetts isn't a whole lot better. I know we got folks from Massachusetts who come to church here. Do you know that in Massachusetts, this is the law, at a wake, mourners may not eat more than 3 sandwiches. That's actual law. You know, you can look these up for yourself. There's a website called dumblaws.com, and they list them on there. Okay, in Massachusetts, it is illegal for tomatoes to be used in the production of clam chowder. It's illegal. I don't know what brought that on. But I know we got some folks from Connecticut as well here. In Connecticut, in order for a pickle to be legally sold as a pickle, it must bounce. I don't know who the pickle testing bouncer is. In Devon, Connecticut, it is illegal to walk backwards after sunset. You can't do that. Also in Connecticut, you are not allowed to cross the street while you're walking on your hands. That's illegal. In Connecticut, you may not educate a dog. I don't know why that's on the books, but these are actual laws. Now, where's Pastor Mike? There's Pastor Mike. Now, Pastor Mike, you got to watch out for this one, okay? Because I do not want to come to Connecticut and have to start a prison ministry, okay? But it is illegal in Connecticut for a man to kiss his wife on Sunday. So watch out there, okay? I do not want to be coming to Connecticut to have start any kind of a prison ministry, okay? Now, these are all crazy things that are on the books. But, you know, they don't stop us from loving where we live, you know? We got some crazy laws there in Rhode Island like that. But I still like living in Rhode Island. But I mentioned that all to say this. If we could call the people who have gone on to heaven already before us and ask them, how do you like living in heaven? You would hear nothing but good things coming from their lips. They would say how much they love living there. But if we could call the people in hell and ask them that question, how do you like living in hell? You would not hear one good thing coming from their lips. And the truth is, eventually, every one of us is going to live in one of two places. The Bible teaches us that Christians will live in a place called heaven with the Lord Jesus for eternity, and lost sinners will live in a place prepared for the devil and his angels called hell for eternity. And so let's look at this place called hell for a few minutes. And I think after we see what the Bible tells us about this place, none of us would want to spend eternity there. So first, I remind you that hell is real. Hell is real. According to the Word of God, hell is a real place just as much as Pasco, Rhode Island is a real place. It is a real, literal, actual place. And how do we know that hell is a real place? It's because the New Testament makes reference to the place called hell 162 times. And the Lord Jesus himself references the subject of hell 70 times. So God's word teaches there is a hell. God's word says, for instance, in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. And yet, even though the Bible teaches about this terrible place, the cults teach that no such place exists. For example, the Christian Scientists say hell is an error of the mortal mind. The Jehovah Witnesses say the wicked will be annihilated. That says when you come to the end of your life, that's it. You just cease to exist just like a dog. Wicked will be annihilated. The Mormons teach this. All will eventually be saved and not suffer eternal punishment. And the Seventh-day Adventists say God will someday blot out all sin and sinners will be annihilated. Again, just completely done away with, no hell, no punishment, and God will establish a clean universe once again. So those are all different ways of denying the reality of hell. But according to the Word of God, hell is not the grave, hell is not annihilation, hell is not a curse word. Hell is a real place. And because hell is a real place, Bible-preaching churches preach sermons like this to warn people of this awful place. And we send missionaries around the world to preach the gospel because every person needs to be warned about this terrible place. Now, some say that the passage of Scripture that I just read to you of the rich man in hell is only a parable. It's only a parable, but it's not a parable. It's the story of a real man that once lived on earth like we do. Now, how do we know that? How do we know it's not a parable? One, because Jesus tells us it's a real story. He says there, in verse 19, he says, there was. Now, Jesus is no liar. He says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. The Lord himself says he existed, and the beggar existed too, if you continue on. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. So Jesus tells us that it's a real story. A real story with real people. Because he uses the words, there was. There was. But then we also know it's a real story because of the fact that Jesus mentions people by name in this story. Proper names are not used in parables. In this story, the name Lazarus is used. He says, Lazarus was an actual person. The rich man was an actual person. And he mentions Abraham. And we know Abraham was an actual person. And so this is a true story. And it shows us that hell is a real place as much as Pasco, Rhode Island is a real place. And if you or I could ask anyone in hell today, how do you like living in hell? They might tell you, well, you know, I was a rich man when I lived on earth. But if I could get out of this place, I would give every penny I ever had. Or I was a very famous man when I lived on earth. But if I could get out of this place, I would gladly give away all the fame I ever had. Or I had a lot of ungodly friends when I was on the earth. But I would be willing to forsake every one of them if I could get out of this place. Or I served many gods while I was on the earth. But if I could get out of this place, I would be willing to forsake every one of them. See, hell is real, and it's like no other place that ever existed. And the truth is, people would give anything to get out of that terrible place. Did you know that every person in hell would give anything to be sitting in that pew where you're sitting this morning? They would give anything to be able to be there. Why? Because hell is real. Hell is real. And then secondly, we learn that hell is hot. Now, some people say, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, listen, you are entitled to your opinion. Welcome to America. But not believing in hell is not going to drop the temperature of hell 1 degree. When people arrive there, they're not only going to see that it's a real place, but it's a hot place where people are conscious of their surroundings. We read here in verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and was buried. Let me just stop say there that the truth of the word of God is death may stop the heart from beating, but death is not the end. Death is not the end. And look at some of the things about this place called hell. Notice in hell he could see. Look at verse 23. He says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You know, with our eyes, we sometimes see things that are so bad, it causes us to turn our heads in a different direction. There are things we can't bear to look at. It happened to me just recently. I was watching the television news, and they were showing videos of that terrorist attack in Nice, France. And they were showing the pictures of the bodies of men and women and children just laying in the street dead. I couldn't watch it anymore. I had to turn it off. I just could not watch that anymore. There are things that we just cannot bear to look at. But in hell, there's not going to be any place they can turn their eyes to escape the horrors of hell. According to the scriptures, the rich man lifted up his eyes and saw the horrors of hell. But not only could he see, but you know what? In hell, he could hear. He could hear. Down in verse 27, and he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Now, think about what does he hear? What does he hear? He hears some of the most horrible screams that have ever been heard. I'm talking about horrible, horrible screams. Horrible screams. And I've heard some horrible screams in my lifetime. I remember one time going to visit a man, a good Christian man in the hospital. And when I arrived, I could hear the voice of a man screaming down the hallway. And as I got closer to the room of that man that I'd come to see, I realized it was him who was doing all that screaming. And I walked into the room, and the man was in so much pain that they had to hold him to the bed. And he looked at me when I walked in the room, and he said, Pastor, pray that God will let me die. I can't take this anymore. Well, there were at least a half a dozen family members in that room as they heard the agony of his cry. And they were crying, and many of them had to leave the room. It finally got so bad that they went down the hall to the waiting room. But even down there, you could hear the cries and the screams of this man. And so I finally told him, I said, well, why don't you do this? I said, if you want to, I said, you go home and I'll stay with him for a while. And they did. They took me up on that offer, and I stayed with him, and his wife stayed with him. But the family members, it was just too hard. They just could not handle it anymore. And so they went, and during the day, of course, the nurse came in giving him morphine to kill the pain, but it didn't even phase that pain. It didn't even touch it. And finally, around 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, he began to calm down. And just totally exhausted, fell asleep. And a short time after he fell asleep, he took a deep breath and passed into eternity. And at that point, praise God, his screams ended. it ended for him. And he entered into the presence of his wonderful Savior, perfectly whole, perfectly well. But that is not the eternal destiny of everyone. In hell, people are going to see things. The Bible says we're prepared for the devil and his angels. They're going to hear the cries of men and women screaming in agony for all of eternity. Because the Bible teaches us very clearly that people in hell are experiencing the flames of hell. Look at verse 24. He says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now the liberal preachers teach that the Bible is not to be taken literally. They say there will be no flames in hell. But I guarantee you this, you could never convince that rich man in hell that it's not real. You could never convince him. He said, I am tormented in this flame. People in hell are experiencing thirst like they've never experienced before. Again, verse 24, he says, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. People in hell are experiencing thirst like they've never experienced before. And people in hell are experiencing pain like they've never had before. In Revelation chapter 14, verses 10 and 11, it says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. They are experiencing pain like they've never experienced before. And fourth, and this might even be the worst thing, is in hell they're experiencing memories. Verses 27 and 28, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. He remembered the past. If some of you today who are listening to me preach about this awful place end up there, you will remember that you had the chance to come to Christ for salvation. The rich man remembers that he could have lived for the Lord. The rich man remembers all his chances and realizes that they are gone forever. And so we see hell is real, hell is hot, and then finally, and we're done, hell is forever. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Some folks don't believe hell is forever, but God's word makes it clear that the wicked shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. As I said, that is my least favorite subject to preach on. So let me tell you now the good news instead. Let me tell you the good news. This is the best news ever. No one here, and really no one in the whole world, has to go to that awful place called hell. Because the Lord Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day to keep us from going there. If we could ask any of those in hell, how do you like living in hell? They would tell you that the worst mistake of their life was when they rejected the Savior who wanted to save them and keep them from that awful place. And as we close the sermon, I want to tell you this. I want to tell you how to get to hell from here. You know how you do that? It's simple. Just say no to Jesus. That's all it takes. I can tell you, based on the Word of God, that eventually, if you say no to Jesus, you will arrive in hell. Hell is full of people who have followed those instructions. Just say no to Jesus. And there's nothing that we can do for those who have already gone on. It's already been determined that they will spend eternity in that place called hell. They made their eternal choice, and now they must live with it for eternity. But now is your turn to make the choice. And you must choose. Will it be Jesus or Satan? Will it be heaven or hell? Where will you spend eternity? By calling out to Christ and receiving him into your heart as your Savior, believing that he died on the cross for your sins and rose again, you can keep from going to hell. And instead, you can go to that place I preached about last week. You can go to that place called heaven. Jesus has prepared the way, and the choice is up to you. Will it be Jesus or Satan? Will it be heaven or hell? Where will you spend eternity? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God and for the warnings of the Word of God. And I pray, Father, that there would not be one single person who leaves this building this morning without being absolutely sure that Jesus is in their heart, that their sins are forgiven, and that they are on their way to heaven. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this room who has not settled that matter, that today they would take that step of faith and call out to Christ and receive him. Lord, if they'll just call out to you and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. But I believe you died for my sins and rose again. Please come into my heart. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me eternal life and a home in heaven. Make me one of your children. Lord, I know that if they will call out to you that way, you will not turn them away, because you never turn people away who come to you in faith. And so again, Lord, help us not to leave here today without being sure that we know Christ in our heart. And for those of us who have taken this step of faith already, help us to be faithful in sharing the message with others. Lord, help us to have a great burden, a great desire, great compassion to reach people for Christ. And help us not to take the message of how a person can escape hell and gain heaven and then take that message and just hoard it for ourselves. Help us to be faithful in warning others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.